This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a CAN model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com. Very excited. And Texas Longhorn fans should be excited to hear from our next guest. He is the high school coach at Edgewater High School in Orlando, Florida. That is the high school of the top running back in the nation in the 2023 recruiting class, Cedric Baxter Jr., also known as CJ, and of course his head coach is Cameron Duke. Coach, how are you doing?
I'm good, Chip. I'm excited to be on here and appreciate you guys getting me on. And looking forward to what the future holds for Longhorn Nation.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot to be excited about, and no one got a chance to see CJ up close, rushing for 3,759 yards, 7.6 a carry, 42 touchdowns than you did. And so I'll start with this. When did you know that CJ Baxter had a little something to him?
We're allowed to have our incoming freshman work out with us in the summer that'll be coming to our school. And when he walked in the weight room in June of his end of his eighth grade year, going into ninth grade year, he looked different than every other ninth grader that was coming in. And then watching him work out, you know, he was a quiet kid. He didn't, you know, he just kind of came in and got with his designated group and just started working, and watching him work and lift and the conditioning stuff that we're allowed to do here in the state of Florida in the summertime, it was pretty impressive as a freshman. And about midway through July, heading into fall camp, about a couple weeks till fall camp, we take our varsity team to a FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athlete team football camp that is hosted every year here in Central Florida with us and about 11 other teams. So there's 12 teams there, really talented football teams from across the state. And it's a padded camp, and we have our varsity team set, but I always leave about three or four spots available for either kids that, you know, are new or somebody we think that might be able to contribute on the varsity. So we bring CJ to camp with us, didn't know quite what he was going to be. Was he going to be a tailback? Is he going to be possibly a defensive back? I mean, he's got the height of a wide receiver. But we knew we wanted to bring him to camp. Well, we put him back at tailback, and against varsity competition going into his ninth grade year, he broke off a few runs that I'll never forget. And I looked at my staff and said, yep, this one's going to be special. How he could accelerate and put his foot in the ground. Of course, you could see how big he was going to get. He was already a big kid, but not as, of course, not as big as he was at the end, by the time he left us. But he was physically ready to play varsity, and he had some runs that made you say, wow, going into his freshman year. So he was a four-year player for us on the varsity. I've been at Edgewater now 6 years. I just finished up my sixth season, and we've had some good teams and some really good success, and we've only had three players ever play up for us as a freshman on the varsity, and he was one of the three.
Yeah, for those folks in Texas who don't know about Edgewater High School, tell them, you know, about the class they're in and the success that you've had there.
We got here in 2017, January, so just about, you know, we're going on year seven now, and they had fallen on some tough times, but if you look at the history, they had been successful in the late or early 2000s, and I knew all about it. And then when the good Lord led myself and our staff to Edgewater, we were able to have some pretty early success, winning 9 games our first year. Then our second year, we went 12-2 and lost in the Final Four. And then our third and fourth year, we played in the state championship game against St. Thomas Aquinas and played them really well, but lost both those games in the state championship game to a South Florida private school power. And then in 2021, 10-2 in this past year, 12-1, and made a third round run. So we've had some success and been fortunate to have great players like CJ and a great staff, and been fortunate to be a nationally ranked team and played some really, really good competition here in the state. We've previously been in what they call Class 7A. They recently just changed it. We're now what they call 3 Metro, but according to Max Preps, it's one of the hardest classifications in the country to play in.
Yeah, I mean, and the state championship games you referenced, was that CJ's freshman and sophomore years?
Correct. His freshman and sophomore years, he played us in the state championship. He played the state title games. And in the sophomore year, he had an extremely talented game at Doak Campbell in Tallahassee, Florida, the home of Florida State Seminoles. He played really well, scored a couple touchdowns. And that was the start of him really kind of blowing up on the national scene.
Yeah, at that point, is that when the recruiting really took off for CJ?
Yeah, I think that game and a few other games, his sophomore year, we saw a combination of size and speed that was elite. He's just, when people came in and met him early on, he got a lot of attention early, was committed to Florida State actually after his freshman year, then opened his recruitment back up just because he hadn't been a lot of places. We just kept coming out of COVID. And he was able to actually now get back to campuses and so forth. So, yeah, after that, his sophomore year, after the state title game, some things took place in that spring going into his junior year on a recruitment level, and then his junior year, he exploded.
Yeah, and he grew up a fan of Florida State. He grew up a fan of Dalvin Cook. That's part of the reason he wears number 4, or he did at Edgewater, right?
Yep, family grew up a Florida State fan. He's a South Florida kid and family originally. So Dalvin Cook, of course, is from the Miami area. So watching him in Tallahassee and family being a fan, he got a chance to see Dalvin and a few other good running backs come through Tallahassee early on in his being a kid and being a fan.
And Coach, for those, again, who aren't, you know, watching Edgewater, what kind of offense were you operating? How did CJ fit in to that offense?
We're a spread, no huddle, up tempo offense, but we're going to primarily, you're going to have to stop the run to beat us. We're going to be a gap scheme team. We're going to run power. We're going to run counter. We're going to run buck sweep. We'll run inside zone. And then, you know, we like to do some different stuff in the RPO game. But we try to play with tempo and try to be physical at the point of attack. And having CJ as our primary back was perfect fit for us. But, when you go back and look at his stuff, you'll see a lot of times he's playing with an H-back in front of us, but also can be a really good one-back player as well. And I think the most special thing about CJ is how talented he is out of the backfield in his hands.
Yeah, and that's, go ahead and elaborate on that a little bit more in just in terms of what, you saw him do the best and how did he impact his teammates?
You know, I think the thing that he impacts his teammates is he holds everyone around him to a very high standard. And he keeps guys around him accountable. He's a really selfless guy. He's not going to worry about his stat line at the end of the game. He really cares about winning. You know, in today's climate and culture of football, that's big. You know, and, our main motto, our first motto and our core values is selflessness. And CJ is that. He cares about others before he does himself. And that's prevalent in the weight room, in the practice, on the practice field, in the classroom. He's off the charts academically, and that led, he was the sole leader of our team the last 2 years, there's no doubt. We had a lot of other good leaders too, but his leadership is the best I've ever seen in 19 years of coaching high school ball. And, he makes those around him so much better, and I've always said a good player is good, but a great player makes those around him elite. He does that.
Does he do that by leading by example? Is he vocal? How would you describe his leadership?
It's a combo. You know, he's definitely leads by example. He's early to things. He's always on time. He's accountable. But see, he also knows how to challenge players when it's time to challenge. He also knows how to go behind, you know, kind of behind a, you know, if a kid's getting coached up pretty hard, he goes and puts his arm around him and encourage him. He knows when to encourage. He knows when to challenge. That's really a testament to – that's a gift. I think that's a God-given gift. That's also something that's been taught to him by his family. His mom and dad are great people. So he knows when to challenge and to get on somebody, but also when to love them and encourage them and build them up. You kind of see what I can call feel the room, right? You can kind of feel the what a player needs in that moment. But you can't do that if you're also not leading by example. And he does that consistently just with how accountable he is, how hard he works, and, of course, the production that he's been able to have.
When, you know, everyone wants to know if a player is going to be able to shine when the lights are the brightest on the biggest stage. You mentioned him scoring a couple touchdowns in the state championship game as a young player. But you mentioned to me before a game that he had against Jones High School, and tell the folks about that game, because I think it was a 4-overtime game.
His junior year, we played Jones, and they have been in that nationally ranked team like us, and they're really right down the road. They've been a top 100 max preps team consistently on the last few years and do a great job. When we played them week three of his junior year 2021, and he ended up having 40 carries, and we didn't even know that until the end of the game, for like 250 or 260 yards and I think 3 or 4 touchdowns, and then we won it in 4 overtimes. And it was wild, but his demeanor was, as the game wore on, he wanted to be the guy that put the team on his back to go and finish off the game, to go find a way to win the game. That's kind of, you know, when it's time to lights are the brightest, he wants to be the guy that's going to go and lead his team to victory. You know, and if he does it too, he's going to be the guy that's going to do everything he can to make sure he does it and then never point the blame at anybody else. Because he hasn't been, you know, at Edgewater, we played some really good teams over the last 4 years that he's been a part of. You know, we haven't won all those games. And so when we've had a difficult loss, how he's handled those and how he's led after those games, he's even more a testament to his character and to his leadership. Because it's really easy to lead when you're consistently successful. It's what you do when you have a speed bump or some adversity that strikes him. He's the best I've ever seen when adversity strikes and how he responds and how it all responds for himself, but to his teammates. And that 4-overtime game, this is a funny story I didn't get a chance to tell you. That was coming off a week 2 loss. We lost to Venice High School that ended up winning the state championship game, or state championship 2021 in the highest classification. We went down there and played. And I actually, as the head coach, wasn't able to be there because my daughter was born on Friday night. Of all the nights that she was born, we have a 16-month old daughter. She was born week 2 of his junior year on a Friday night. And I could not be there. I was with my wife during that time. And I remember CJ texting me before and after the game, kind of checking in. But we lost that game. And we came back, and I met with my players individually, kind of, you know, he came and saw me. And there was things that he told me that he didn't like that was happening with our team, that he wanted to make sure we got corrected from a character and leadership standpoint. That following week is when he led us to a win against a nationally ranked opponent in a 4-overtime game where he put the team on his shoulders. And that's who he is, and that's who he's been with us for 4 years, and hopefully what he's going to be with you guys.
Wow. Wow. That's impressive stuff. It's hard to find kids that talented who are that humble and hungry and thinking of others, you know, especially in this day and age of social media and now NIL. In talking to his dad, he said he didn't want CJ making a decision based on NIL. He wanted him to go where he was comfortable. And he just sounds like a kid who gets it, which is, I mean, obviously just from the way you're talking, you know, a bit of a coach's dream.
Yeah. And that says everything you know about his dad and his mom and his family. They weren't going to just, he wasn't going to go just to for NIL money, you know, and he wanted any, and they were involved in the recruiting process, but they were going to let their son make the decision. And they're the best. They're the best. They're great family. They're friends of our family, and just been awesome. And they've raised a really quality young man, and they have other children too, that they've done a great job raising. So, you know, when we got him, he had already had great attributes that had been instilled in him. And I think, you know, hopefully our program helped him continue to grow and develop as a man, not just a football player. And then now it's y'all's turn.
Well, and now, I mean, I guess his mom Latoya makes some great food too, because I think he had the offensive line over to his house a few times.
Probably too many times for her, as much as food as those guys eat. But yeah, he always gave credit to his offensive line and those around him. And one of the best ways you can give credit to high school offensive linemen is to feed them. And yeah, his mama can cook, so they were very appreciative. I know that.
I love it. Okay, we'll take a quick break with Edgewater High School head coach Cameron Duke, the head coach of Cedric Baxter Jr., CJ Baxter, the top running back in the nation in the 2023 recruiting class.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
Coach Duke, you know, when you look at the recruiting process, you know, you and I talked a little bit beforehand, and you said Tashard Choice immediately when I talked about CJ's affinity for Texas. Can you elaborate on that?
Coach Choice did just an unbelievable job recruiting him. I think was upfront and honest and built a great relationship with him. Built a great relationship with him when he was at Georgia Tech. CJ early on, you know, when I could, you know, would ask him and kind of get his feeling on where what schools early on stood out. Georgia Tech was always in the picture. That's where Coach Choice was at the time. As an assistant coach, and that was because of their relationship they had built that carried over to when he got on staff with the Longhorns. And you know, I can't tell you how many times he's been to Edgewater and out to practice and to our games and so forth. But you know, getting to know him, I can see why. He's a great man. He's very committed in his faith. He wants to develop the whole player, mind, body, and spirit. He's had a great track record with all the backs, and of course the backs that are with Bijan and the guys that Texas have had under his leadership this past year. I think it was that was the difference maker of all the recruitment, was just the relationship we had with Coach Choice, and I can see why.
Because you had the helicopters landing at Edgewater High School, right?
We did. We had some helicopters land, and some, you know, the who's who of college football showed up. They weren't there to see me, I promise you that. So it was great, and that was good for the whole program. But, you know, the difference was the consistency and the relationship over time that he built with Coach Choice.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, Nick Saban, Dabo Sweeney, Kirby Smart, I think we're all spending some quality time at Edgewater High School. You probably have all the coaches' cell phone numbers in your phone. What was that the craziest recruitment you've been a part of?
You know, yeah, we had some really big time players that came out, but the COVID year, so that was that. But of course, the coaches couldn't be on campus, and we've had a lot of other players that have gone off to some really big time Division I programs, but I think CJ for sure, from start to finish was, and then, you know, cause he started, he was a national recruit early on. Then we hit COVID, then we came out, of COVID, and coaches were able to get back on the road. And, you know, his junior year, was such, I mean, all of his years were really good. His junior year though, he was fully healthy and just was lights out. And so it opened back up in January, and it was pretty nonstop for, you know, his entire time until he committed, with the recruitment. So, but, you know, so many programs did a great job, and I think he had a lot of respect for all the programs that recruited him. And then, you know, he made his decision in the summer, this past summer. And one thing I appreciate about CJ, he's a very loyal young man. You know, he stayed at Edgewater all 4 years. I promise you there were a ton of high schools that I'm not going to name that tried to lure them to their school. He said, no, I'm an Edgewater Eagle, and stayed there all 4 years. His loyalty is something that is a trait that is phenomenal, especially in today's climate and culture and football. And then, you know, when he committed this summer to Texas, that was, he stayed true to all the way until he signed in December, and now he's on campus with you guys.
Yeah, I think he mentioned that he's in a group text with Arch Manning and other members of that Texas 2023 recruiting class, and that they were already, you know, kind of pushing each other to, you know, be the best that they could be heading into their early enrollment there in January. Did he mention anything about, you know, the other guys in the class? It's obviously a top three recruiting class.
I think he was excited, just the different, you know, of course, Manning and all the different great players that are coming from all over that he thinks, you know, he thinks is a great class. And they built early relationship in the summer and then stayed true. And, you know, he's there now working hard. I know that. We texted the other day, and I think he had just gotten done with the early morning workout, and I could tell he was pretty white, but in a good way. He likes the work. He likes the grind of it. You know, he likes all the aspects of really being a high-level football player, not just the glitz and glamour of being a recruit. So I know he's happy to be there and getting in the work. But, yeah, I know they built a strong relationship in the recruiting process throughout the summer into the fall.
The only injuries he had at Edgewater were hamstring, right?
Yeah, and, you know, he's such a twitchy, big athlete. And so he did a really good job in preventative care and was really good in the weight room. And but, you know, he had a couple of tweaks of the hamstring, but nothing major, but just enough to where, you know, he's a pretty high level elite athlete, and those hamstrings sometimes are things that, you know, you got to continually to watch and monitor. And I know he's excited and getting with the trainers and medical staff there and all the support that he'll have of really developing not just the strength in the hamstrings, but being preventative and hopefully staying healthy while he's there. But, you know, he was great in the off season. He was really strong in the weight room. But yeah, he did have a couple things with the hamstrings being tweaked.
But I think I saw he had 5 fumbles. He only lost 2 in his 4 years at Edgewater. So pretty sure with the ball in his hands.
Yeah, you know, I don't even know the numbers, but, you know, we know that winning football is about, it's about turnover ratio and winning it, you know, and not giving them up on offense and finding a way to get them on defense. And, you know, he protected the football extremely well, especially for the workload that he got. And he took great pride in that, you know. And if he ever did, you know, the times that, you know, he did put it on the ground, he's one of those guys that came off and was able to. He was more upset with himself than I or any coach could be, and he was going to go correct it and get it right. That's one thing, you know, when a special player, you don't have to just chew them out and get on them. They take it more personally themselves than any coach getting onto them. But you know, he got better and better throughout his entire time, really protecting the football. And That's how you win and lose games.
Well, and you said that he wasn't, you know, your offense didn't use him in the passing game a ton, but you said he might have had the best hands on the team.
Yeah, you know, there were some things that we did to get him the ball in space, but looking back, I probably should have done it more. There's no doubt. Phenomenal hands, great route runner, can really sink his hips and get in and out of the breaks. You know, I think I told you going into his junior year in the spring, we're able to have 20 practices in the spring. So his second semester of his sophomore year in the spring, in May, I worked him primarily at receiver so he could learn all of our entire offense from the different positions, inside and outside receiver. So if I ever wanted to put him there, we could. And he could get a big picture of the offense, which he did. So he worked all spring there and worked running routes. And, I mean, that's when – I mean, his hands are exceptional. And then, you know, he had some big-time stuff for us in the past game, made some big critical third-down catches. But his work out of the backfield and being able to line up kind of all over the place, is, he definitely can do it because he's got great hands. He takes the ball out of his air, takes the ball out of the air, and is a really, really good route runner. I mean, he can get in and out of the breaks like a receiver.
What? When did you see him face the most adversity?
About that's a great question. You know, he battled a little bit of stuff his sophomore year from a hamstring deal that he was able to fight back, get healthy, and then have a really big game in a semifinal game, and then get us to a state title game. You know. His senior year, he had a little bit. He got nicked up, and he fought like crazy to come back and play in the playoffs, which he did. That's, you know, he was already coming to Texas, but he wanted to play for his teammates. He wanted to play for his school. He could have checked out easily, you know, and he didn't. And that says everything you know about him. He fought like crazy to get healthy, and he did our last few games in the playoffs, his senior year. Where now you're starting to see sometimes guys opt out or move, you know, if they get nicked up at all their senior year and they're already committed to places, they might not play. That's not him at all. You know, he's had some stuff with his grandmother, you know, battling stuff. And he's been always honest with me and our teammates about lifting up family members in prayer when there's been stuff that's going on. And one thing I've always appreciated about CJ is open with what's going on and with us as a staff and his teammates. And always ask for prayer, for guidance. And so he definitely battled adversity like any young person at different times. But he does it, and I think he thrives in it for being I still look at him as a high school kid. He's really should be a high school senior second semester, but now he's in college. But he battles adversity as good as any young person I've ever coached.
Well, you mentioned his grade point average. I know his dad said, you make a C, you're not playing. And he never made a C. I think he had a 3.8 grade average when he left Edgewater. That's incredible.
Off the charts, and was loved by his teachers. And you know, in COVID, when a lot of kids went virtual, you know, his grades improved. Again, you know, was raised by great family, and then, you know, he worked his butt off. I mean, he had the Ivy Leagues wanting him. You know, he cares about being a great student, and that's one thing I appreciate about him. He's going to do something. He's going to excel at it. So as a student, he's going to go max it out. As a football player, same way. And that was such a good example for all of our players and student athletes at Edgewater. And it was inspiring to see that somebody that he wasn't worried about academic eligibility. He was worried about academic excellence. And he demonstrated that, of course, ending his high school career, graduating early with, you know, that GPA.
Now, does he go by C4? Is that his nickname? Or
goes by C4. I've always just called him CJ. But, you know, and his dad, Cedric Baxter Sr. But, you know, he definitely goes by C4 by a lot of people. He'll probably always be CJ to me.
Yeah, he's going to have to wait. Jordan Whittington has number 4. He's going to have to – but he's a senior, so he'll get it eventually. I think he's going to wear number 8. This freshman year. But when you look at, you know, everyone wants to compare, he's a taller guy. I mean, you said he might even be close. He might even be 6'2".
You know, I haven't measured him all the way, but I would not be surprised if he's fully 6'2".
And, you know, when you have those taller running backs, he's kind of an upright guy like Eric Dickerson, Adrian Peterson. I don't want to get carried away here. Those guys are legends, but, you know, do you have a guy that he reminds you of?
You know, he's, you know, some of the old heads on my staff said Herschel Walker, you know, of course, you know, in the state of Florida, people have said Dalvin Cook, but Dalvin Cook's, I don't think that tall. I've never had one like him. I'm trying to think. You know, the thing that's impressive is how big he is and powerful, but, you know, he can make you miss. And then he's got the top end. You know, when you watch it and he's breaking these long runs, this is against some of the best competition in the state of Florida where speed dominates. So for being that big, his turnover is so impressive. His turnover with his running and his gait, especially when he breaks it, is something I've never seen. And then I think what makes him, you know, impressive is that he can put his foot in the ground and change direction at full speed. That's usually something that's more geared towards the smaller, shorter, shiftier backs. He does it at 6'2", you know, 215, 218 pounds in high school. That was something I've never seen.
Well, Coach, is there anything else that you think is important for folks to know about CJ Baxter? Because we sure do appreciate your time.
You know, he's a humble kid, and he wants others to do well. He cares about winning. You know, he doesn't just care about his stat line. He wants to go be – he comes from a winning program and has won a lot of football games, and that meant a lot to him, and that meant more to him than any other stat that he would have, you know, that he could acquire while he was with us. That's rare when it's – so many times football has become about me or self. He's not that. He's a genuine dude. He cares about others well. He's got a great family. Got an older sister that's great. He's got two younger brothers that are great and a mom and dad that are special. And he's just somebody that, you know, I think Texas has got an exceptional football player. Everybody, you know, a lot of people rated him the number one back, I think for good reason in the country. This is such a huge statement, but I'm telling you, he's a better person than he is football player. And, you know, we're going to miss that because I could tell my team, hey, I need you to do what he does. And I don't mean on the field. I meant off the field, in the weight room, in the classroom, how he treated others, how he treated his teachers, how he treated family members. That's what I think Texas is getting, an exceptional player and even a better young man. And, you know, I can't wait to watch him, see what he does for you guys here moving forward. And I know we're all excited to see what he does for the Longhorns.
Well, it's an exciting time. And I'm sure every Texas fan listening to this this podcast interview is walking away feeling like they have a better sense of who CJ Baxter is. And Coach, continued success to you. And thanks so much for taking some time and enlightening us on CJ Baxter.
Hey, I appreciate it, Chip, and having me on. And you know, you guys now got a bunch of Texas fans here in the state of Florida, so. What do they say? Y'all's way, hook 'em.
That's right. That's right. Well, for Cameron Duke, I am Chip Brown. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the Flagship Podcast. Until next time, we'll see you over at horns247.com. Stay safe and keep the faith.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.